We are very grateful to God for the word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word remains forever. And our Lord himself spoke it and referred to Noah and the time back then and said, "This is how it will be when the Son of Man comes again." And the question is, will he find faith when he comes again? At that time, there were many people on earth, and only a few believed, very few, a handful. And the Lord says, will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he comes? Only in those to whom he has spoken and who have trusted him and believed his word. All others will believe past him. I have said it many times, believing in God is one thing, and believing what God has said is quite another. Many believe in God, millions, if not billions. But believing God, that is another thing. In God, even the devil believes and trembles. So it says in James. But to believe what the Lord has spoken is only given to those who belong to his people, who are actually his own. And that is where the word comes from. He who believes as the scripture says, not only who believes somehow, but believes as the scripture says. There are a few things to note here. If you will just remember it very briefly. Sometimes it's about the 120 years, and we have to be very careful that Noah didn't preach for 120 years. We have to take that very much to heart. It says in Genesis 5, in the last verse, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japhet. When Noah was 500 years old, the three sons were born to him. Then comes what is written in chapter 6, and then in chapter 7, in verse 5, it says, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. So when he was 500 years old, the three sons were born to him. And the three sons already entered the ark with their wives, according to God's word. And he was 600 years old when the flood came upon the earth. So you have to read a little carefully sometimes to see that. A second time it is in Genesis 8. Genesis 8, verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. So again, these 600 years. What struck me here is in verse 11. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. The dove, and I don't know if you notice this, Brother Brenham, one of the last songs in a sermon in December 65, So it was one of the last sermons. He was singing the song of the snow-white dove and referred to Noah, how God gave him a sign through this dove that he sent out and then brought back the answer, which was that the waters had gone away and already brought back a fresh olive leaf. And it happened at evening time. One could read a great deal more from the story of Noah. And we have just translated a sermon. In it, Brother Branham wants to prove that every human being, even every man of God, has made one or few mistakes, and he even tries mightily to prove it to Joseph in the Old Testament. And we have noticed how difficult that is. But Noah was such an ordinary man, like all of us. And he actually drank too much one day. Although it says of him, he walked with God. He walked with God, but still remained a man. And it says here in chapter 9, we never want to emphasize the bad things, but God's word gives both. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. You all know the story. We always have both in the Word of God. We have the divine side, and we have the human side. And Brother Branham mentions it in a sermon and says, when God gave his commentary on Abraham and on David and all these servants, not one rebuke was given, but only what was significant in terms of the plan of salvation, what was of divine origin. That's what God brought out. We see God made a covenant with Noah. Noah had found grace with God once and for all. Not just for a few days, but forever. And so you could read through the whole of Scripture and find that God had mercy on those whom he called, and whom he pardoned, and whom he blessed. To me, a word from the Gospel of John, the 7th chapter, came into my mind this evening as I looked very briefly into the Holy Scriptures. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, it says, in verse 46, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. It refers to our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was outwardly man, being found in fashion as a man, blameless, without guilt, without sin. He came to take away your guilt and mine, to bear your sin and mine. But it says here, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. They were to get hold of him, to take him, for there was already talk among the people. Is this really the prophet? We read recently from John 1, that John said, I am not the prophet. Let me read here in a moment how the Jews understood this according to the word. John 7:40. Many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Not a prophet, but the prophet, of whom Moses spoke, a prophet like unto me, God will raise up from among your brethren. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? And then, of course, came the answer, has not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Did they not know that he was born in Bethlehem? Has that slipped their minds? No, they knew. But suddenly he appeared in Galilee, so that the word of the scriptures might be fulfilled. Zebulun and Naphtali, the land of Galilee, has seen a great light. It had to be fulfilled. And then they say, search ye yourselves, whether there come forth out of Galilee a prophet. That was a difference between the place of his birth and the place of his appearance and ministry and the site where he would lay down his life. Those were different things and different contexts. They did not understand the first, nor the second, nor the third. They did not understand his birth, neither his ministry, and they certainly did not understand his crucifixion and death. And in everything the scripture was fulfilled before their eyes, with his birth, with his ministry, with his death, with his resurrection, with his ascension, with everything. And yet it remained hidden from their eyes. But these precious words here, among the people, there were those, and even among the servants, who had been sent out. The servants answered, never man spake as this man speaketh. And that was already too much for them. They became angry, upset inside, and it says here, then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? No, they were not deceived. They had only heard a man who speaks as no man has ever spoken before. The words went to their hearts, and although they were sent to take hold of him, the word of which the man spoke took hold of them and went to their hearts. And they said, never man spake as this man speaketh. That was already too much. And it says, then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? They were proud that the Pharisees and the rulers did not believe in him. This was a certain triumph for them. For the common people who were ordained for salvation, it was quite different. They heard him gladly. They came and knew from his mouth come words of eternal life, words of salvation, of blessing, of deliverance, of healing. Where would he have spoken once without a person not being granted what he desired. He always had the right words at the right time and spoke them in the right way. Verse 49, but this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. No, blessed are they in the eyes of God. That which men curse, God has blessed, and that which the world rejects, God has chosen, and vice versa. God acts exactly contrary to how people act. Only they do not understand. They think what they do is right. No, only what God does is done right. Everything else does not count anyway. How is it said to people's faces here? But this people who knoweth not the law. They may not have known much of the law, but the lawgiver they feared in their hearts. And they understood the meaning of the law, namely that in it too the promise of grace and the Messiah had been given. And as Paul later elaborates, that through the law no man can be saved. That is obvious. And so people put their trust in the Lord. And after this blatant statement was made and the curse was pronounced, we read in verse 50, Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. He did not need to learn much and understand much. God's word had spoken it through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 8 at the end, and according to chapter 9 at the beginning, where the light would shine and those living in darkness would see it. Here they also snubbed Nicodemus, who was after all a scholar who belonged to them. He includes himself and says, does our law judge any man? He didn't say your, but our. He included himself. He was still one of them. And then they also gave him the answer. What is this meant to tell us tonight? A person who has really heard and understood the Lord's speaking at this time, who has really taken it to heart, will say and confess, never have we heard this. Never has the Lord spoken in such a way as just at this time. And then people may come and say, yes, it's only these and them who listen to it. Let us be of those to whom the Lord's speaking is precious, to whom the Lord's speaking is valuable, that we might also say, never has a man spoken as this man speaks. What was it? It was God in Christ. It was the words of God. Of course, words of God are not in another language. They are in our language. Some people think that when God speaks, it's some kind of heavenly language. God spoke to Noah as any other human being would speak, and he understood everything. And he spoke to Abraham in a way that he understood, and he spoke to Saul in a way that he understood. God speaks to people in every language, just as it is necessary. But whoever has heard and received his speaking will be able to tell the difference and will say with these people, never man spake as this man speaketh. They did not yet know who he was, but in their hearts they recognized the difference. It were not high words. It was not the quality of the words, but what was expressed in them. Not high education, but actually a simple word of God. And Brother Branham says, our Lord did not speak the high and the vocabulary used by the respected, but actually such language as could be heard from any man in the street. And that is why, says Brother Branham, all the learned men, who after all have learned a learned language, have had so much difficulty in translating the discourses of Jesus. Because in their learning, they have not found some words at all as he pronounced them. And they speak of the old Aramaic and new. They can speak what they want. It was a simple thing. God revealed in simplicity, spoken and worked in simplicity. But his simple word has such power and such force. And the great words of all the great ones, they have done nothing at all. They have no power in them at all. But the word of our Lord, in it, the power of God has been revealed. And the people who believed in him noticed the difference. They had heard many, but when the Lord spoke to them, they had to notice the difference and say, never before has a man spoken as this man speaks. How is the Lord's speaking to you and me? Did we notice the difference? For I believe that God has spoken to us in this time through his revealed word. He has made his will known to us without us asking him, without us knowing what he intends to do with us. It says here further, in chapter 8, from verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. It was a great pity that the Lord also always had such people around him who always interfered with him and always somehow could not cope with what he said. It would have been better if he had only had an audience that loved him, that welcomed him, that believed his words. But he too had to deal with the people of that time. And he says, ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself. And the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. This agrees with the word, He who knows the Son also knows the Father. And with the word, He who sees me sees the Father. And with the many words of the Holy Scriptures, all is revelation through the Spirit of God. People have not been able to understand it. He spoke of his Father, and they asked, Where is thy Father, or who is thy Father? And then he says, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. The hour for everything must be there, for his ministry, for his suffering, for his dying, for his resurrection and ascension. As he said back then, Your time is always, but my hour has not yet come. And so God has set a time and an hour for everything. His speech to his people has always been something very special. And to his own he could say, It is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. When I think about it, how many parables the Lord spoke, and how like a riddle the people explained the content, and they knew just as much afterwards as they did before. And then he says to his disciples, But unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Many a mystery is also wrapped up in Brother Branham's sermons, as if in a kernel. But the solution of the riddle is not with you and not with me, but only with the one who has veiled in the mystery. He who has hidden it can also reveal it. You know very well that God was hidden in Christ and revealed himself to those who came to believe in him. He was both hidden to some and revealed to others. Some believed, others did not believe. And so it is to this day. Here he goes on to say, and with this I would like to come to a close. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Verse 23. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. I noticed how important it is to read a few more verses, because just earlier our Lord said in verse 21, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. But we notice later he elaborates. He doesn't leave general hopelessness, meaning everybody, and say, you will die in your sin. But he elaborates, as we just read, that only those who don't believe it's him, they will die in their sin, in their unbelief, because they haven't believed in him. We have heard it so often from the mouth of Brother Branham. Faith is of God, and is wrought by the word of God. Unbelief is a thing of the enemy who wants to nullify the word and rob you and me of this faith and destroy it. We cannot help but take as our example all those men who believed what God told them. Noah believed what the Lord told him, and he did exactly as the Lord commanded. And he saw with his own eyes the fulfillment of what God had promised. He saw how the scoffers met their end, how the wicked perished, and he saw how God, in his faithfulness, kept his covenant and his grace, not only in words, but in deeds. And he was carried gently over the judgment by the same water that drowned others. The same water that was the doom for the unbelievers and that brought them to death, the same water it was that carried Noah along with the ark. The same water, no other. To the one to die, to the other to live. Paul says, to some a savor of life unto life, and to the others a savor of death unto death. Who can determine it? Only the one who determines over death and life. Was it not the same with the children of Israel and with the army of Egypt? The same Red Sea through which God's people passed, dry-footed, became the doom of the Egyptians and buried them. For some, a way of life with God, because they believed his word and followed him. And for others who followed them and didn't mean well with them, a way of death, and they were buried in the sea. The same water that caused the unbelievers to perish carried Noah along with the ark and all who were in it. We could now go to 2 Peter 3, where Peter refers to all these things, but the time is up. God's word is precious, and I tell you, whether the Lord spoke to Noah, whether he spoke to Moses or to Abraham, when here the crowd said, never man spake as this man speaketh. If we could ask Noah today, how did you feel when the Lord spoke to you? If we could ask Abraham, how did you feel when the Lord spoke to you and gave you the promise? Oh, what testimonies we will hear in glory from all those who have heard the speaking of God. But I tell you, there is no testimony that will be greater than that of this time. God has summed up what he spoke in the days of Noah, in the days of Moses, in the days of the prophets, in the Old and in the New Testament. God has summed up in our days. Perhaps Noah only knew what the Lord said to him, and Moses what the Lord said to him, and Abram what he said to him. And we who live at the end of days may know and hear what God spoke to all the prophets, to all the apostles. No one has ever spoken like him. Oh, that his word would go to our hearts, that it could penetrate us, and we would say, Lord, we are not worthy of your words. A John fell on his face as dead, and the Lord speaks to him, Fear not, I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. May the Lord make us truly great tonight, that it is he who has spoken to us. We may have seen a human shell before us and said, God sent a prophet, but a prophet cannot do or say anything himself unless God speaks through him and God works through him. And so we have not just heard a human being, we have heard the voice of the Lord in this time. And with David, we join in the psalm that we heard in the word of introduction. It goes so deep. I've said it many times. In the Psalms, the situation of every human being is described. No matter where you come or where you go, if you read the Psalms, you will find something somewhere that applies to you. I will find something that applies to me. The Psalms are something so personal, so precious, tailored to our lives. And we thank our Lord that he still has words of comfort, edification and strength. As it was in Noah's time, so it is now. God saves and God protects. God will bring it to pass. Before the judgments come, we will have entered into Christ and be saved by grace. No one has ever spoken as he has spoken. This will be the testimony of all the prophets, all the apostles, and all the people of God. This will be my testimony and yours. May our hearts burn and thank him for his speaking in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Which you have also given us this evening by grace. O Lord, we are so glad that we may look up to you in faith and confidence. For we too know who has spoken to us in these last days. Lord, we give glory to no one else but to your name alone. Hallelujah. You have done great things for us all. And therefore we come to you and will stand in faith until you take us into your glory. We worship you and praise your presence, for you are not far away, you are near to your people. Let us walk with you, Lord, as all men of God have walked with you. O Savior, this is our wish and our desire. Hallelujah. Glory to you, the Lamb, now and always. Be with us now as we depart. And bless us tomorrow again when we come together to bring you the honor and praise and the worship. Be in our homes, Lord, with our families, O God. We lay everything before you. Give grace, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.